many people are lost without Christ, and they're protesting against stuff. And I know, Paul, we could just pray for them, and I thank you for bringing that up to our attention. But it's very important to pray and also be delight. And I think one thing is bad about Facebook is that we get on there and we post our opinions instead of having a face-to-face conversation with people, because when we have a conversation over the internet, it doesn't really get to the depth of what we're trying to say, right? We don't, because people, when we talk, we use hand gestures, we use facial expressions to share what we're trying to talk about. And when inner texting, we lose a lot of the stuff. I'm not on. It's on pie up there. How's that? I'm turned on. How's that? Okay. I think we were talking about the seven churches in the last month. And I think last week talked about how the church, the empathetic church, and how we see the church really not being the church that we were called to be. We get empathetic to people. We get lazy, we don't care. And stuff like this, when we share about Christ to others, so important. I want us to turn to Hebrews 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I asked this question last week. And did the Lord speak to you this week about this? What is valuable to you in this life? What is the most valuable thing that you are holding on to in this life? What is it what you're holding on to? And what are you willing to give up? You know, last week we looked... I think when we actually spend time with the Lord will share to us. Right? What is the Lord wanting us to give up? And what is he revealing to us what we were trying to hold on to? I know sometimes we try to hold on, say that pride gets in our way. That we always have to be right. That we always have to get the last word in. What is the Lord speaking to you about today? What has he been speaking to this week? Because I know the Lord speaks to us every day of our lives. And are we listening? And are we responding to what the Lord is saying to us? Or are we just going through the motions of just saying that I'll just come to church on Sunday and get my fill? Or am I getting my fill during the rest of the week? Are we teaching our kids? And I know that's very challenging for myself. To teach them and to actually my prayer, my hope. Yesterday I was talking to a friend and I said, do you know what my hope is? That my children will have a faith. Not a faith through my life because of how I am. But they would have a personal relationship with Christ because they have met Christ personally. I think too often we try to say, kids, you need to do this, you need to do that. But our prayer should be, Lord, open up my kids' eyes so they would see the truth, that they would know the truth, that they would know that God truly exists. And if we as the church are not excited about the Lord, how does that reveal to the kids? Do we really believe what we are talking about or what we read? When you get excited about a football game, you talk about the football game. Hockey, you go, you know what? This player, this goalie had all these assists, this much ice time, he did this and this and this, and we could rattle off all the stats. Beautiful. People said, man, you're a passionate hockey player. You're a passionate football player. How come we don't do that for the Lord? How come we don't go, you know what, this is what the Lord has been speaking to me about this week. This is what the Lord is revealing to me personally in my personal time with him. And as we share that with our children, they will know that God exists. Wouldn't that desire to stir in them to have a hunger for him as well? We think of this world as lost, and without Christ, they're protesting about all this stuff. All lives matter. Jesus did not die for one group of people. He died for everyone on this planet. When we say that one certain group is better than another, that's racism. Christ put racism to death. And that's the fall of man when there's racism. We should look at an individual not by the color of their skin, but who they are. Who the character of them. Are they funny? Do they make you laugh? Are they, you know, your best friend? We all have different people that are different ethnic groups. I love them because I got close to them, because I get to know them. And the Lord wants us to get close to him. He wants us to have a passion for him, a desire for him, to really say, to get excited for him. How is our excitement for the Lord? The church, Laodicea, they were apathetic in their love with Christ. They went to church, but they didn't have a love for him. They didn't care. They were satisfied what they had in this world. They depended on their money, their houses, and everything else, but they didn't care about the Lord. Because the Lord said, you say you have all this stuff, but it's one thing we are lacking. Is the Lord. When we see our lives in turmoil, are we being fulfilled with Christ? Is Christ fulfilling our lives? Or are we dependent on the things of what this world is bringing? Our job, the finances, maybe my relationship with my wife or my kids, are I finding satisfaction in that and not in the Lord? Those are questions we need to ask. Where am I finding my satisfaction? Where do I find where I am wanted or needed? Christ is calling his church to become alive. You know, the church of Laodicea, they were allowing deceitfulness of wealth and the distresses of other things come in and choke the word and making it unfruitful. And you can find that in Mark 4:19. Mark 4:19 says, they were allowing deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. We think of the parable of the weeds growing up and how it chokes the fruit. It takes away the nutrients, what that plant needs to thrive. What things in our lives are choking the word of God? Very important questions. What is choking the word of God in your life so that you are not as overflowing with joy in the Lord? The church should be excited. The church should be overflowing with joy because we see what is happening in this world. Jesus, in Revelation, in so many, the prophetic word of the Lord is saying, in these times, keep your eyes to the Lord, see what's about to happen, because the time is near. He's coming soon. Are we ready for the Lord? Right? Are we ready for the Lord? It could be another 5, 10 years, but are we ready for the Lord? Are we living the way that the Lord wants us to live? Not to be apathetic, have empathy. You're just like, oh, just do whatever I want. Oh, I'm sorry, I used the wrong word. Empathy. Thanks for the correction, huh? But you think about, I'm glad you're here for me too, Maroon. But you see how when the word chokes us out, we become spiritually blind. This church was spiritually blind because they depended on the things that they had. We have so much in this world. In Canada, we have so much. We're so blessed. And it's so easy to get consumed with the things, what we have. We're so blessed. This church thought they didn't need anything. They had it all. They didn't need the help from the Lord because they said, you know what? I got all this. I got this handled. Lord, I don't need you. I got this. Have you ever said that? I got this. I don't need your help. You know, I could power my way through this. Has anybody ever said that? Not out loud. But we have always been too proud to ask for help. Sometimes we're too proud to even ask for prayer. Sometimes we're too proud to even ask for, you know, somebody to come help us do something. Or in finances, or for food. We get too proud. You know, when we become lukewarm, or when we get complacent, much of our surroundings affect us. How much of the world and the pursuits of the society has enticed us and surrounded us to become like this church? The Lord desires His bride to be set apart, to be a light in this dark world. This is what He's calling the church to be, a light. To speak the truth, not a watered-down truth, but the full truth. For the bride, we are supposed to be dependent on the Lord for His righteousness, for help, strength, wisdom, boldness, confidence, and to rely on Christ rather than our own strength and ability. I think when we say, oh, I got this, I can handle this, I don't need help, I don't need to do any extra, I don't need to read my Bible all the time, I don't need to listen to the Lord, because I got this, I can handle this. In that time, do you not find yourself struggling, going like a spiral, right? You're trying to say, Lord, you don't even cry out to the Lord to help me. But I think the Lord needs to take us to the place where we hit rock bottom. I think the Lord needs to put us to a place where we can't do it on our own. That we have to say, you know what, Lord, I surrender all. I give it all to you. We sung that. Lord, I surrender all to you. I give it all to you. Here I am. Take me as I am. The Lord wants us, I think He's gracious enough to let us actually, He's not going to let us drown, but He's willing to let us hit rock bottom at times so that we will cry out to Him. We need that. We need awakening. In Revelation 3:22 says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Christ is warning the church and the individuals to listen to what He is saying to the seven churches. He wants us, His bride, to endure patiently for His return. To wait patiently for His return. Not to be doing things just for the sake of doing it, but patiently. Being actually listening to what He is calling you. Listening to His voice. Because He will direct you. He will guide you. Wait patiently. That doesn't mean that we stop doing everything, but we actually wait patiently by meditating on His word, listening to him, being obedient to what his word is saying to us. He wants us to be diligent in our calling. Not to be passive. Not to say, whatever, the Lord's coming, so I'm just going to take it easy. But we should have a desire for the lost. The desire to see the lost to come to Christ. To see them to have a relationship with him. And in all that, it will fan that flame in our own lives to stir our passion for the Lord. It's amazing when you share the gospel with somebody who is hopeless with them, how it stirs and reminds you of the Lord and all that he is doing in our lives. It's pouring out. Because if we don't believe what we read, it will show. The fruit of it will show. We can read the word till we're back and forth numerous times, but if we do not live out the living word, then we're just hypocrites. We're just dead. He wants us, his bride, to endure patiently for his return, not to take our eyes off Christ, to live in expectation of his return. And in Matthew 24, verse 36 to 41, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in these days, before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But the day of Noah entered. But the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken away, and the other left. Two women be grinding with the handmill, and one of them will be taken away, and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because we do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So we don't know the day or the hour the Lord is coming, but he's calling the church to be ready. Are we ready? He's ready to see the church. He wants the church ready. We need to be expectant of it. In Revelation 3:11 says, Jesus said he was coming soon. Soon. The church of Ephesus had lost their first love. The church of Smyrna had endured suffering, but remained faithful to the end. The church of Pergamos, who had allowed false doctrine to enter their beliefs. The church of Thyatira, also allowed sexual immorality into their lives. The church of Sardis, who appears to be alive, but actually spiritually dead. The church of Philadelphia, they were small witnesses, but continued to hold fast to Christ. The church of Laodicea was a lukewarm and despised Christ. We see how the body of Christ will fit one of those seven churches. We see how our lives reflect the same way. I shared in Romans 14:12, it says, this is the New Living Translation, it says, yes, each of you will give a personal account to God. Yes, each of us will give an account to God. That's a sobering thought. How we live and how we listen and are directed by the Holy Spirit, we are all given account. We meet the Lord face to face, and we give an account to to what we did and did not do in this life. I'm not saying just go and do works, but you have to be faithful to what God has been called you to be. Be faithful, because we all give an account. None of us are without excuse. Since we are accountable to God, he desires to continue to work in us. He desires us to respond to his voice and to grow in godly character, to grow and to put off the old and to put on the new. We talked about that. Put off the old and put on the new. Put off anger, bitterness, resentment, lying, cheating, but put on the new nature. It's a choice. And I know we fail at times. But here's an amazing promise. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, because we are going to be faithless at times, but he doesn't want us to remain faithless. He will correct us. He will encourage us. He will draw us to himself. So if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's what God is. He is faithful. For he cannot disown himself. When we are faithless, he is still faithful. But he doesn't want us to be continue living in sin, to continue to live away from him. He wants us to be abiding in him, trusting in him, relying on him, hearing his voice, walking with him. Jesus said in John 14:6, says Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. It's amazing how many people think they know the truth. But what truth are they standing on? There's only one truth, and that's Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's not easy to hear the truth or even to receive the truth. How many knows? Does anybody hate when somebody says, I got something, I want to tell you the truth about something? Sometimes we'd be like, oh, here we go again. That's right. It's not easy to hear the truth. Sometimes we get offended. Sometimes we have a temper tantrum. We pout, we cry, we sulk, right? I've been there. I think we all been there. Because it's not easy to hear the truth. When the Holy Spirit, or even when somebody speaks the truth of God to us, it can be hard to receive. You know, perhaps we should ask, Lord, why am I having a hard time receiving the truth that is spoken in love? There's correction. Jesus spoke correction to the seven churches, or to the five of the seven. He spoke correction. And if God spoke correction to you today, how would you receive that? How would you receive correction from the Lord today? Would you automatically say, no, that's from Satan? I don't believe that's true. But what does the truth of God say? What does the word of God say? Perhaps there's a blockage in your life. Maybe that's why you can't receive the truth. But however, the truth will set you free. That's what the word of God says. The truth will set you free. It will not keep you in bondage. It will not keep you in a headlock, but it will set you free. That's why we need to not water down the truth. In Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4:22 says, as I already kind of talked to this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Speak truthfully to his neighbor and for all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful for his own hands, that he may have something to share in those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. It says, do not allow any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may be benefit for those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all, it says, get rid of all. We play a part in this. We need to get rid of all. Lord, help me to get rid of this. But look, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind with every form of, along with every form of malice. Be passionate, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, God, forgave you. It's hard to receive that, because some of us operate in that. And sometimes it's through manipulation. Sometimes it's through, because it's a defense mechanism. But there's a root why we operate in that. And those are just the fruit of the root, right? I shared, we have this tree has suckers coming into our yard. And I would cut off those little suckers, but still, I'm not dealing with the root. And I can't cut down the other tree because it's my neighbor's. I could use. Yeah, I could use that. You know, sometimes it's even harder to receive what the Lord is saying, especially if it's affirmation. Right? Sometimes it's hard to receive affirmation from the Lord. When the Lord speaks to you, speaks truth to you, when you read his word that it illuminates and you're like, wow, he's giving me a rhema word or he's giving me this. Sometimes it's harder to receive that because we have this list of things that I can't receive that. So why do we believe a lie instead of what God is saying? Why do we believe lies more easy than the truth, what God is speaking to us? You know, during our walk with the Lord, there will be times our relationship with him will cool off and become hot again. We kind of have a cycle. We go through times when we think there is no growth, because we ourselves don't see the Lord's fruit being produced, but others see the fruit, right? Sometimes it takes years before you will see the tree to actually start growing up. Sometimes when you're in the Lord, maybe you won't see anything for about 3 or 4 years, because if you're in the Word of God, reading, meditating, and spending time with him, sometimes he's preparing you so that you would have a solid foundation, a great root system. Because if he's calling you into something, he wants you to be prepared and ready for what he's going to bring you into. So if you don't have a root system, and you only sprout up, and so when troubles come, and you won't persevere because you'd be falling over. But we need a great root system. To build a root system is that we need to spend time with the Lord in prayer, listening, meditating on His Word, being around people that will speak the truth and encourage you. Don't surround yourself with people who will just tell you whatever you feel like you should hear. Those aren't friends. Those are people who enable you. And when we have people who enable us, we don't grow in godly character. We become very passive. Sometimes we have shame about our past that holds us back and makes us want to hide and not allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Perhaps we have other things that we don't want to be revealed. And so the Holy Spirit, maybe that's why we don't read the Word of God as often as we should, or we don't spend the time that we should be listening to the Lord's voice, because we're afraid of what He's going to reveal. Sometimes we bury things subconsciously in our mind to protect us from a hurt, from a past. And sometimes we're like, I don't want to go down that avenue. It's going to be painful. But I think the Lord is gracious. The Lord is kind. He will reveal more of the very root of whatever He spoke to you about so it can be dealt with. And in that time, there's going to be some healing. When we have hurts and we have bitterness or resentment, those are chains. That is a bondage that is holding us back from moving into what God has called us to move into. And sometimes we feel good in those chains because it's comfortable. And we don't really want to move into what God has called us to go into. But the Lord wants to set you free. Shame is the voice that terrifies you in the silence. Shame is the voice that causes you to hide from others. When we have shame, we don't want to be around anybody. We just want to stay in our safe place, that we erect these little four walls around us, and we don't want to be involved with people. Because we're afraid, what happens if these people get to know my heart? To know how messed up I am? Are they going to love me? Are they going to help me, encourage me? Right? But you see how Satan is using that shame to push you off to the side. To push you so far away that you don't want to come to the Lord. He wants you in bondage. Sometimes when we have shame, we use perfectionism. Sometimes we blame others. Often we have addictive behaviors because we don't want shame to be dealt with. Don't allow regret or shame or anything to keep you away from the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to set us free so that we no longer are tethered to the shame or regrets of our past. Christ, when you see the cross, Christ took our shame. He took our regrets. And when we confess our sins, He nails it to the cross. So it's no longer our shame or our regrets. Christ took it from us. And He replaces that shame and regrets of your past with promises of healing and restoration. And He's going to build you up. And He will use what was once shameful for His glory, for His purpose, so He can reach those who may be in that today. But we cannot stay in regret or in shame. If we do, we cannot move forward with the Lord. We'll be tethered to this shame. We become like a dog that could only go so far around. But the Lord wants us to be who He's called us to be, to share the gospel, to share of His goodness and mercy, how He set you free from your bondage. I think of times I cried out to the Lord because I was unsatisfied. And I felt like there was something that was holding me back spiritually. I don't know if that's just me or just anybody else. But for a couple years, I was like, Lord, I know something's holding me back. Lord, I don't know what it is. I was still reading the Word of God, still praying, but the root of what was holding me back was not revealed. And it kind of gets frustrating. And I know something's there, but I couldn't put my finger on it. So my prayer was Psalm 139. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." When we're open to the Lord and we're crying out to Him, saying, "Lord, search me, O God, and know, and test me and know my anxious thoughts." It's humility. You're showing the Lord that you have humility, that you're not trying to do it on your own. You're not doing it under your own strength. He takes you to a place that where you have to surrender and get on your knees and cry out to Him. Too often we're too proud, too arrogant, saying, "Man, I got this. I got this, Lord. You take the back seat right now. I got this." We get that arrogance. But don't let pride get in your way. Because the Lord will search you. He will reveal and show you any anxious thoughts you have in your life. James 5:16. Do we have that one up? James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other." Confess. Accountability. You know, at first when I did that, confess some sins to others, I didn't actually, when I put my pride off to the side, it actually was liberating. It's actually freeing. Actually, you know, I was like, I don't have to be worried about shame or anything. Because we're supposed to encourage one another and help one another in the faith. And to pray for one another, not to gossip about one another. Oh, this is what he has, this is what he did, what he confessed. No. I always pray when somebody tells me stuff, Lord, whatever they share, block it from my memory so I do not hear it anymore. But I don't remember it anymore because I don't want to remember it anymore. Right? It's so important. When we pray for one another, when we confess to one another, we don't hold it over anybody. And I think sometimes that's why husbands and wives have a hard time sometimes praying for one another. We don't want the other one to look like we're weak. But actually, there is strength in it. When you are open to your wife, there's a bond. There is oneness and healing in it. I remember this one time, I was doing my mentor class, and Corrine I asked her to help me, and I was like, oh, this is going to be something. Because it was about emotional healing and wholeness. I pondered it for about a week. Good thing the class, that section was for 2 weeks. So, and as we intentionally listened to the voice of God, there was a series of prayers, and I asked, Lord, what is the, can you identify the struggle in my life? So he revealed the struggle. But the struggle is only a symptom of the root. That's why I said the bitterness, resentment, anger, and all that, they're always symptoms of the root, right? That's just a symptom. We don't see really what is buried. We only see what is surfacing. So when I react out of bitterness, resentment, unwholesome talk, there's a reason why, and that's just the fruit of it. Because that's just a symptom. What is really the Lord is trying to reveal to you? And as I shared, subconsciously, we bury things in our minds to protect ourselves. Now, when there is an offense happens, it triggers that symptom, and we react. Right? Does that make sense? So we react to that symptom. Really, it's not the really, and so that symptom is actually, so that's what we need the Lord to say, Lord, thank you for revealing that symptom. Lord, what is really the root issue of that symptom? So it could be dealt with. And so the Lord will reveal. So he revealed to me. And at one time, it was pride. Right? And so when you go, okay, but Lord, why do I have pride? See, this is another issue. The pride is not the root of it. It's actually, I had pride because it was a protective barrier around from the root of it. So the next step you would ask, Lord, thank you for revealing this pride in my life. But Lord, why do I have pride? So we went through the step, through these steps, and we thanked him. And eventually, he revealed the very root of the issue. And in the process, in the class, he says, can you... Now, thank the Lord for revealing the truth. Now, speak the truth about what the Lord has spoken to you about. And it was tough. Because here I am, tears were running down my face, and it took me a while, two or three times, attempts to even speak the truth what God's shared to me in that moment. And so finally when I did it, I spoke that truth. There was like this weight, this chain was broken. It brought so much freedom, liberty, this bondage. My spiritual walk, I was like, wow. And that's only one of two or one of three different other times. But being specific in your prayer and asking the Lord, really, Lord, why am I acting this way? Why am I behaving this way? Right? And so when my wife, it took a while. I don't know how long we prayed together. But it encouraged me. And it was humbling to pray with my wife. To confess. And there's other things I shared, right? Other things that revealed. But I was being open. There was nothing hidden. I think that's the trouble sometimes in marriage. We try to hide things. We We're trying to keep things away from one another because we don't want to be open and allow somebody who we might use it against us. But no, that's between them and the Lord. We take the step of faith and say, Lord, I thank you that you have broken this huge weight off of my life. Even how I do ministry has changed. How it has changed my spiritual walk. So why am I sharing this? Sometimes it's harder to receive what the Lord says, especially if it's affirmation. It's hard to receive it, but he wants you to receive it. The Lord wants to set you free. You no longer have to be in bondage. We all have baggage when we come to the Lord. It does not automatically go away like that when we give our lives to Christ. It does not. Because salvation, we are his, we're at salvation, but there's a process of sanctification along the way. So we grow deeper, more in love, and how he heals and restores us. And how in that time restoring and healing, we say, you know what, this is how the Lord healed and restored my life. I am not the same person who I was before I came to Christ. There's so many people who are out there who are brokenhearted, who are struggling with things. But they don't have the hope that we have. Our hope is in Christ alone. The truth of the gospel sets us free. Only the gospel, when it's spoken in the truth, not watered down, not diluted, but the truth spoken in love. And sometimes we have a hard time receiving that. So my prayer, I'll hand out these things, but praying for a personal growth. I have these sheets. And I'm blessed, and I'm glad this church is blessed to be with me, with Southland and Steinbach, to have for myself a mentorship program. I'm going in my third year. But I see the fruit of it, and I see how this church will grow from this. And we're going to grow. Maybe not in numbers, but spiritually we're going to grow. There's stuff that the Holy Spirit keeps speaking to us about today. Don't be afraid. The Lord has your best interest. He wants you to be set free. He doesn't want you to be tethered to shame or regret or your past. Your past is your past. You can't change it. But you can be healed from it. And allow the Lord to use you for his glory, for his purpose. So, Lord, we just thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for how you heal and restore us. Lord, I thank you that you have us in your hands. And, Lord, that you're the one who mends and heals and takes all our brokenness and our regrets, our shame, and you put it on the cross. Thank you, Lord, once we confess those things, and Lord, that Satan does not have no longer an area to manipulate us or control us. So, Lord, thank you that you're the one who sets us free. So, Lord, I pray that your voice was speaking to everyone here today. Lord, whatever you've been speaking to them about, Lord, help them to know there is freedom. Lord, let there not be pride from stopping them to grow. Let there not be fear of what people may think. But Lord, let us confess our sins to one another. Lord, I pray that for marriages would be healing and restoration in marriages, Lord. Father, that we as men would be open to our wives to share thoughts of what's going on and what's happening, Lord, that we'd be able to share and have confidence, knowing that our wives would not use it against us, but, Lord, to be a way to pray for us, and likewise for our wives, Father. Father, a way that we could pray for our wives and to really to help them through whatever they go through. So I pray, Father, for marriages in this body of believers. Father, that you would heal and restore marriages. That, Father, that marriages would be so strong and so knitted together, Father, that with you in it, especially with you, Lord Jesus, in the midst in our marriages, there would be this just such a richness in our marriages, Lord. Lord, let us not just be hearers of your word today and not become doers, but Father, let us take what we have heard today and apply it to our lives. Father, let us apply what we hear and become doers of it. Lord, let us not become lazy and just say whatever. But Lord, let there be healing and restoration in this body of believers today. And Lord, let our passion for you grow. Like those people who are fans of football and hockey, Lord, let us have a hunger and a thirst and we be so overjoyed with you to share the gospel to those who do not know the truth of Christ. Lord, we just pray for this broken world. Father, we pray for all those broken people that are going to be protesting or are even protesting now, Lord. That, Lord, that you would speak to them in their brokenness. Lord, that the church be the church of salt and light, Lord, to speak into these matters. Father, let the church be the focal point in the communities, Lord, in this country, Lord, that the church would be dependent on you and you alone and not on our own strength. Father God, I pray for those who are just down and out, Lord. Lord, we just pray for them. Lord, encourage them today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a song?
Thank you, Pastor Kyle. As he was talking, and I was just thinking about how we are the church. We are the church. And you know, he came so that we could live in fullness. In the fullness of the abundance of Christ. And when he talked about, when Pastor Kyle talked about shame and bitterness, and he talked about things being tethers that hold us back, and he talked about us building walls around ourselves so that we can't hear the Holy Spirit, we can't, you know, come into the fullness. And it just, God's really been talking to me about that in my own life and in my own walk with him. And so it just makes me ask the question, and Pastor Kyle asked it, like, what's holding us back? We are the church, the whole church. And, we as a body, I'm just stirred that he's calling us to come into the fullness. He's calling us to surrender fully, not to hold back. And so as we sang songs this morning and as we prayed and shared scriptures, this also stirred in my heart. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the currents and the rivers. Who shall go up into the mountains of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted himself up to falsehood, or to what is false, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who inquire of and for him, and of necessity require him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Yes, lift them up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Amen. Who is he then, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Mm-hmm. Selah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you invite us, Father God, to come into the fullness, mm-hmm. The fullness of your presence, the fullness of your spirit. Thank you, Father, that you know, as Pastor Kyle is saying, we know, God, your word says, Father, that we as your bride are to be set apart. Mm-hmm. Father God, we're to be the salt and the light, Lord. We're not effective, Father God, if our salt loses its flavor. Father God, help us in Jesus' name to come fully, Lord God, to just literally discover what is tethering us down, Lord God, and God, just allow you to remove it, just pluck it out, Lord God, so that we're no longer bound in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Oh, Amen.